The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 26, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 15th, 2017, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kala Vritya Tu Mayayam Guna Mahiyam Adokshaja Purushena Atma Bhutena Viryam Adhata Viryavan Kalavrityatu Mayayam Kunamayam Adokshaja Purushenatma Bhutena Viryam Adhata Viryavan Kalavrityatu Mayayam Kunamhayam Hadokshaja Purushenatma Bhutena Viryam Adhata Viryavan Kala The eternal time, vritya, by the influence of, to, but, mayayam, in the external energy, gunamahyam, in the qualitative modes of nature, adokshaja, the transcendence, purushena, by the Purusha incarnation, Atma Bhutena, who is the plenary expansion of the Lord, Viryam, the seeds of the living entities, Adhata, impregnated, Viryavan, the Supreme Living Being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Living Being and His feature as the Transcendental Purusha Incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes, and thus by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. Purport. The offspring of any living being is born after the father impregnates the mother with semen, and the living entity floating in the semen of the father takes the shape of the mother's form. Similarly, mother material nature cannot produce any living entity from her material elements unless and until she is impregnated with the living entities by the Lord Himself. That is the mystery of the generation of the living entities. This impregnating process is performed by the first Purusha incarnation, Karanavashayi Vishnu. Simply by his glance over material nature, the whole matter is accomplished. We should not understand the process of impregnation by the personality of Godhead in terms of our conception of sex. The omnipotent Lord can impregnate just by his eyes, and therefore he is called all-potent. Each and every part of his transcendental body can perform each and every function of the other parts. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.32, Anganni Yashasakalendiya Vittimanti. In Bhagavad Gita also 14.3, the same principle is confirmed Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma Tasmid Garbam Dadam Yaham. When the cosmic creation is manifested, the living entities are directly supplied from the Lord. They are never products of material nature. Thus, no scientific advancement of material science can ever produce a living being. That is the whole mystery of the material creation. The living entities are foreign to matter, and thus they cannot be happy unless they are situated in the same spiritual life as the Lord. The mistaken living being, out of forgetfulness of his original condition of life, unnecessarily wastes time trying to become happy in the material world. The whole Vedic process is to remind one this essential feature of life. The Lord offers the conditioned soul a material body for his so-called enjoyment, but if one does not come to his senses and enter into spiritual consciousness, the Lord again puts him in the unmanifest condition as it existed in the beginning of the creation. The Lord is described here as Viryavan, or the greatest potent being, because he impregnates material nature with innumerable living entities who are conditioned from time immemorial. So the living entity is foolishly trying to be happy in this material world. Why is this described as foolish? Just like the fish, he is a creature of the water, isn't it? That is his natural habitat. If the fish tries to be happy on the land, is it possible? Not possible. You may give him all facilities, a nice Rolls Royce car, a mansion in Beverly Hills. It's almost a nice facility, a nice tuxedo, you know, so many things. A guitar, golf clubs, you know. You may give him so many things to be happy on the land, but he cannot be happy on the land because he is a creature of the water. So in the same exact way, we cannot be happy no matter how much facility we get in this material world. It is not possible. Even if you're Brahma himself, the controlling demigod of this entire universe, you cannot be happy in this material world because this is not your home. Is it? So this is a very important point to understand. What is the whole Vedic process, as Prabhupada describes? It's to remind one of his essential feature of life, which is that he's actually a spiritual being, he's qualitatively one with the Lord, and he's constitutionally the servant of the Lord. That's the whole Vedic process. To get us out of this bodily conception, we're still thinking, I'm this body, this blood and flesh, this is me. We look in the mirror, we think, how do I look today? You see? We are still caught up in this false conception. Well, how old are you? Well, I am so many years old. But no, we're not. I'm not 70 or you're not 46 or whatever it may be. We're all eternal youths, associates of Krishna. Eternally youthful. We never get old. We never get sick. We never die. We have to get back to that original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. You see? The Jivara Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nityadas. We have to get back to that original position. There's no other way we can be happy. We try to be happy here in this world, but we cannot be happy. Even if you're a rich millionaire, even if you're, you know, you have surrounded by so many beautiful family members or whatever it may be, you're a prestigious, famous person, everyone comes to you, doesn't matter, you see. It's not possible to be happy because we are fish out of water here. This is a very important point. We have to be convinced. You see, we hear this and we go, yes, yes, that's true. But then immediately we start thinking of trying to enjoy the material world again. As soon as we walk out of the class, how can I enjoy the material life? We immediately go back into the illusion, you see. So how do we keep that consciousness, you see? How do we maintain that awareness that I'm a spiritual being, I'm not the body, I'm Krishna's eternal servant, I must always be fully absorbed in thinking about him, talking about him, serving him, bowing down to him, vibrating his glories all over the world. How can we be fully absorbed in that consciousness? That's the whole process of training. It's called sadhana bhakti. You take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. You become obedient to the bona fide spiritual master. And the spiritual master then trains you how to enter into that mood of pure bhakti, to where you're completely transcendental to this material existence. You don't have to wait to go back to Godhead to be fully transcendental. You can learn the art of how to fully transcendentalize yourself right here, right now, by submissively hearing from the bona fide spiritual master, by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. You will enter that divine state of consciousness known as Krishna consciousness. We talk about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but what is actual Krishna consciousness, you see? We sometimes take quasi-Krishna consciousness as Krishna consciousness. But real Krishna consciousness means I have no desire in my heart except to please Krishna. With my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, all places and circumstances. That is the real meaning of being Krishna conscious. So we have to actually become Krishna conscious then, you see. Right now we're on the threshold of Krishna consciousness. We're not fully absorbed in it yet. You understand that point? We're on the threshold. We're on the doorway of Krishna consciousness. We haven't fully entered into it yet. You know what Prabhupada wrote me in one letter? He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That is Krishna consciousness. You see? That's full Krishna consciousness. You become so absorbed in loving Krishna that Krishna personally reveals himself to you. Doesn't matter, you're a kid, you're an adult, white, black, male, female, Indian, Russian, Lithuanian, Mauritian, American, doesn't matter. The material designation doesn't matter. What matters is, does your heart fully, is it fully absorbed in loving Krishna, or is it caught up in material sense gratification still? Right now, we're still caught up in material sense gratification. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. We're still caught up in it. You see? But we have to pray to Krishna, please get me out of this deluded condition where I'm trying to find happiness in the combination of the senses of the sense objects. Please, Krishna, liberate me. Please liberate me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we beg Krishna to liberate us by chanting his holy names, will he ignore us? Krishna has been traveling with us as the super soul through millions of species of life, waiting for that day when we call out to him to reestablish our relationship with him. So Krishna definitely reciprocates. If we chant his name with a view to becoming purified, with a view to becoming fully, totally surrendered to him, if we chant in that mood, our japa, you see, and in the kirtan, if we will, in that mood, if we will call out Krishna's name, Krishna will reciprocate with us. Sometimes we hear, well, I don't want to fully surrender to Krishna. I have to, you know, keep some degree of my independence. That's rubbish. You don't trust Krishna? You think you're more intelligent than Krishna? Do you have a better idea of what's good for you than Krishna does? You see, this is a rubbish idea. The fact is, we don't know what's good for us. Krishna knows what's good for us. So we should understand what's good for me is to fully put myself under Krishna's direction. Whatever he wants to do with me. Like Prabhupada in his arrival prayer coming to the U.S., he said, now I'm a puppet in your hands, my beloved Krishna. Make me dance as you like. That's the mood. I'm just a puppet in your hands, Krishna. Do whatever you want with me. I now fully belong to you. You can do whatever you can. You can handle me roughly by your embrace, or you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. In every condition, you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's the mood we have to cultivate. That you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. I now fully belong to you. You can do whatever you want to with me. Doesn't matter to me. I just want to please you with my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all situations. You see? You take that mood, you capture Krishna. Krishna becomes your personal property. that person who owns everything becomes your property. You see, that's Krishna consciousness. Can you imagine being the owner of everything? But when you fully give yourself to Krishna, Krishna gives himself to you. He becomes your property, you see. So we shouldn't cheat ourselves, Prabhus and Matajis. We shouldn't cheat ourselves any longer by holding on to this so-called independence. What are you gaining by this so-called independence? What are we gaining? Nothing. Just misery and anxiety. That's all we're gaining by holding on to this so-called independence. Kick it out with boot, that so-called independence. Now, Krishna, I fully belong to you. Now, my dear spiritual master, I fully belong to you. That's it. Just pull my strings and I'm ready to dance. Whatever you want me to do. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. Whatever you want me to do, now I'm fully surrendered unto you. See, that is Krishna consciousness. Now I'm fully surrendered unto you. Do with you, do what you like to with me. For all of eternity, I simply belong to you. Do whatever you want to with me. If we take up this mood, we'll be tasting the sweetest bliss at every minute. We'll be tasting unlimited nectar at every minute. That's a fact. When you, the more you take up the mood of surrender to Krishna, the more you taste the sweetest nectar. So why are we remaining in this ocean of poison, trying to be independent of Krishna? Is that a very intelligent thing? Remaining in this ocean of poison? We could be swimming in an ocean of nectar. But that's our asinineness, our stupidity. We continue to hold on to our material attachments, thinking how wonderful they are. Home sweet home in the material world. They say home sweet home. How stupid we are to hold on to this material conception. We look in the mirror. How do I look? You see. We're very unintelligent Kali Yugites. Kali Yuga means less intelligent fools, morons. That's our position. We're less intelligent fools and morons holding on to this false conception of trying to enjoy the body. So we have to hear from the sages. We have to hear from the pages of the Bhagavatam. We have to hear from the spiritual master who I really am. I have nothing to do with this material body except to engage it completely in the service of Krishna. Nothing else I do. I have no other purpose for this body. Only one thing is to engage this body in the service of Krishna. That's all I need. So you take that move and you embrace that move and you try to cultivate that move. Even we don't have it yet, but we know we need to have it, right? So you cultivate that mood. You train yourself to always think, speak, and act in that way in all times, places, and circumstances, even though it may seem artificial at first. Because after all, my present consciousness is I'm going to enjoy the material world. That's my nature. I want to enjoy the material world. But I understand that's wrong. I have to be in the mood of being enjoyed by Krishna, wanting to satisfy Krishna with every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. So understanding my present disease state and understanding what is the healthy condition I need to be in, I have to train myself. It's called mental discipline. Being introspective. You should always analyze your thoughts. Am I thinking in a Krishna conscious way right now? Or am I in Maya? You see? The mind and the intelligence are two different things. The intelligence, that is very close to the soul. So use your intelligence to analyze yourself. Am I thinking in a way that is pleasing to Krishna right now? Am I speaking in a way that is pleasing to Krishna right now? Am I acting in a way that is pleasing to Krishna right now? Am I thinking in a way that pleases my guru right now? Am I thinking, speaking, and acting in a way that pleases my Guru Maharaj right now? Should always be introspective like that. It's called self-discipline or mental discipline. The more you can do that, the more you can be conscious and introspective, You'll enter into a state, Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati nakankshati. You'll enter a very sublime state of transcendental bliss. You see? Mental discipline pays off. Don't let your mind run wild here and there like a monkey jumping from one branch to another. You bring your mind under control by fixing it in Krishna consciousness. You be a yogi. That's a real yogi, you see. Especially bhakti yogi. He is the most intimately connected with Krishna. Other yogis have some connection, but the bhakti yogi, he has the best connection. You see. He's solidly fixed. So we have to be yogis, those who are yoked or linked with Krishna. This English word yoke comes from the Sanskrit word yoga. So we have to yoke with Krishna. It's like they take a yoke to connect the bull with the plow. We have to be yoked with Krishna. That's called bhakti. Bhakti is the yoke which brings us into full connection with Krishna. So if we will train ourselves by hearing from Guru, hearing from senior Vaishnavas, by reading the book, if we will train ourselves under superior guidance how to keep ourselves always fixed in Krishna consciousness, the material nature won't be able to pinch us anymore. You have a choice. Each one of you here in this room, you have a choice to live in hell or to live in paradise. It's your choice. You want to live in hell or you want to live in paradise? The way to live in paradise is you connect with Krishna and on the order of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, try to connect the whole world with Krishna, wherever you go. By preaching, by Harinam, by book distribution, by Prasadam distribution, by talking about Krishna, telling people about Krishna, by sharing Krishna with everyone. So connect with Krishna and try to connect the world with Krishna. This is our program that enables us to live in paradise at every minute. So it's your choice. You make your own day. You can live in hell. Every day you can either live in hell or paradise. It's up to you. If you connect with Krishna, you try to connect the world with Krishna, you're living in paradise, Prabhu. You're living in paradise, Mataji. If you try your best to connect with Krishna by quality japa, quality mental discipline, you see, quality activities, if you will do your best to connect with Krishna and connect the world with Krishna, you're living in paradise. This world is actually hell for those who are not Krishna conscious. But for those who are Krishna conscious, it's like a kid in a candy shop. It's like a kid in a candy shop. On his birthday, the father says, "Whatever you want, my son, whatever candy you want, just tell me what you want. You can have as much as you want, as many varieties as you want. It's your birthday, whatever you want. It's a candy shop." So, for someone who is connected with Krishna and is trying to connect the world with Krishna, he's living like a kid in a candy shop. Unlimited nectarian adventures are at his disposal. Unlimited nectarian adventures at every step. That's for one who has become connected with Krishna. And if not, well, I'm sorry to say, if you're not connected with Krishna and you're not trying to connect the world with Krishna, which is required to connect with Krishna in this age, actually, then you're living in hell. You may say, can't I just connect with Krishna and forget about connecting the world with Krishna? But that's called Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotee. You see. Lord Chaitanya has ordered us to connect the world with Krishna. Jadidekatarikaha Krishna Pradesh. Everyone you meet, connect them with Krishna. You see. So in this age, connecting with Krishna means you have to try to connect the world with Krishna. Prabhupada confirms this. He says, Krishna's order, Sarvadharman, surrender to me, has taken the shape in Chaitanya's movement as give Krishna to everyone. So surrender to Krishna means giving Krishna to the world, connecting the world with Krishna. That's what it means to surrender. So connecting with Krishna means connecting the world with Krishna. You can't separate them. As followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are ordered to connect the world with Krishna. You see? So if you will connect yourself with Krishna by good sadhana and try to connect the world with Krishna, doing whatever you can to spread Krishna consciousness, by books distribution, by preaching, by prasadam distribution, by cultivating, telling people about Krishna. If you will do your level best to try to connect others with Krishna while connecting yourself with Krishna as best you possibly can, you're living in paradise. Kid in a candy shop. Otherwise, sorry to say, you're living in hell. And there's not much I can do to help you. Really, there isn't. But if you'll take my instructions, you'll take the instructions of the leaders of our movement, you see, the gurus, GBCs, temple presidents, those who are preaching on behalf of Prabhupada, if you take their instructions very seriously and connect yourself with Krishna 24/7, you'll be living in paradise. So it's up to you. Where do you want to live? Hell or paradise? You take your choice and do the needful, you see. If you want to live in paradise, you got to connect with Krishna. Quality japa, preaching activities, regulated rising in the morning, you see. Not sleeping in like a dog or barking all day like a dog. Roof, roof, roof. In our neighborhood, the dogs, they start barking, and I don't know what time they start barking. I don't know why they bark. They bark like constantly. Like a machine, a barking machine goes, woof. They go for hours. Just woof. Who are they barking at? I don't know. They're barking at each other. I don't know. It's just unbelievable. Bark, 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 bark. It's very difficult to find some time to do my video for the day when the barking stops, you see. Today I found a little gap. For 2 or 3 minutes they stopped barking, and I did the video for the day when the barking stopped. So, if we don't become Krishna conscious, we're barking dogs ourselves, you see. We're just in the same level as a barking dog, you see. Same level. So don't be a barking dog of this material world trying to gratify your senses here in this place where there is no satisfaction. Take shelter of Guru, take shelter of Krishna, make your life perfect. This is our philosophy. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Okay. Even while they hear about it again and again and again? Because it just, they don't actually, first of all, they don't hear submissively. It just bounces off. To hear, there's what's called submissive hearing and there's non-submissive hearing. Non-submissive hearing means you don't really try to understand and appreciate what's being said. You just go, yeah, 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 you just let it bounce off. But those who hear submissively, who take it in and try to understand what is being said, they will then manifest a new way of thinking, a new way of speaking, and a new way of acting. Those who have not heard submissively, they'll continue in their old patterns, which is keeping them locked up in the cycle of birth and death. Who was the controller of the material world? Lord Rama or Durga Devi? Durga Devi. She's the warden of the prison. Guru is the sum total of all the demigods, so is it not better for a non-devotee to do Prabhupada Guru Puja than to attend temples? Prabhupada, well, there's so many temples here in Mauritius, but they're not really teaching Krishna Bhakti. You go to a temple, one of Prabhupada's, a temple that's running according to Prabhupada's instructions, coming to that temple will connect you with Prabhupada. It's like coming here, for example. The Bhagavad Gita says that the intelligence by which one sees one's soul in different bodies in the mode of one soul in different bodies in the mode of goodness. The Mayavadis sometimes see this verse as their winning formula. Please comment. The Mayavadis interpret in an impersonal way, which is not really true. So their so-called spiritualism doesn't satisfy them. Aruya krishchena parang padam padap padanchucho nadita dushmadangriyaha. And after some time, because they're not satisfied by satisfying the desire for loving relationship, they deny loving relationships. Therefore, patanti and ho, they fall down again to material existence. Being part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the living entity is also considered a small god. In what proportion the living entity's enjoying propensity is legitimate? The living entity enjoys by serving the supreme enjoyer. It's like the hand wants to be satisfied with nutrition. That's a bona fide desire. But the hand cannot squeeze the food in the fingers and get the nutrition it needs. By feeding the food to the stomach, the hand will get the nutrition it needs. So every living entity has a natural tendency to want to enjoy, you see, and that's legitimate. But how to enjoy, they're making the mistake. They're trying to enjoy separately. You can only enjoy by satisfying the supreme enjoyer. Okay, is it possible for a devotee who has only got his first initiation to return back to Godhead? If he's fully surrendered to his spiritual master, his first initiation is sufficient. Second initiation actually is more of a social convention, because in the Vedic culture you have Brahmins who have they're initiated as Brahmanas, they have their threads. So it's actually more of a social convention to legitimatize that this person now has proven himself as someone who can actually follow the initiation vows, therefore we accept him as a Brahmin. The first initiation is actually a training for becoming a full-on Brahmin. I'll give you an example. Just like for a driver's license, there's they must have it here too. I know in America there's a learner's permit where you can drive with some, yeah. So first initiation is kind of like a learner's permit. You're a licensed driver, but you're not fully recognized yet in terms of the Vedic culture. But first initiation is sufficient for going back to Godhead. But in terms of being qualified for deity worship and recognized as someone who can, you know, give lectures, etc., actually Brahman initiation recognizes you as a teacher. Now you're qualified as a teacher. Doing what?
Inhibiting ourselves from extra services that we can do.
Limiting?
Limiting.
Limiting. After regaining our original abode in the spiritual world, is there still the risk of falling again? Krishna says, Punar janma na vijate, they will not fall again. So don't worry about falling down. Once you go back to Godhead, there's a saying in English, once burned, twice shy. A kid may stick his hand in the fire once, he won't do it twice. So we've stuck our hand in the fire, you see. And here we are, we got burned. But once we go back, we wouldn't fall. We could, because the free will is always there, but we won't. We still have free will. We could fall again if we wanted to, but we won't want to. Oh no, thank you. I already tried that. I tried being Brahma, I tried being Indra, I tried being all these. I tried being president, I tried being a rock star, I tried being a street sweeper, I tried being a cow, an elephant, a dog, a monkey, a mosquito, an orangutan, a snake, a banyan tree. I tried all these things and no thank you. No thank you. Not interested. When Narada Muni tried to find out who had received the mercy of the Lord, all the devotees' questions denied having received the mercy. Some had even felt that they had been cheated. I can't remember the details of that story right now, so I'm not going to comment. Okay. Any other questions? Repeat it for me.
The last question. I didn't hear.
Okay, but somebody says some story about Narada Muni, which I don't recall right now. When Narada Muni tried to find out who had received the most mercy of the Supreme Lord, all the devotees questioned, denied having received the mercy, and some even felt they had been cheated. Do you know the story?
It's not very clear.
No, I don't know the story. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Who is the... we've answered all the questions now, it looks like. Yeah. Any other questions? We have 10 minutes more if y'all have any more questions. We have to take this human life very seriously because it's a very, very rare opportunity. We have been caught up in this material existence since time immemorial. You can't even measure when you fell into the material world. It actually happened in timelessness. We entered into time coming out of a timeless condition in a transcendental existence. So you can't even measure when you entered here. It's timeless. We came from timelessness into time. So here we're suffering like anything. And we need to take this process very seriously. I mean, this is not a joke. It's not just fun and games here. This is serious business. It's a matter of survival. The ship is sinking and you have to get off the ship. You have to get in the lifeboat, you see. It's not some joking matter, hee-haw, hee-haw. No, the ship is sinking and the lifeboats are going out. You have to get in the lifeboat, you see. It's like an ISKCON. Each guru is a lifeboat. We have so many lifeboats. You have to get in one of the lifeboats, take shelter of one of the gurus, you see. The material world is sinking, but the many lifeboats are there. This kind has many lifeboats, many different gurus. You have to get in one of the lifeboats. Otherwise, you're going to sink. You can't say, well, I can't decide which guru I want to take shelter of because they're all nice. It's like the ship is sinking. You say, well, all these lifeboats are very nice, but I can't decide which one to get on. And you go down with the ship. Pick one. Actually, they're all good. Get on any of the lifeboats. Get on, fool, rascal. Get on one of those lifeboats. You know, the ship is sinking. Get on a lifeboat. Well, you have a chance. Get on a lifeboat. You see. Any other questions? There's nothing else we can stop. So, okay, that's it. So we'll stop here. Jantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go to Premanandi. Now we have some prasadam to hand out.